Welcome to this press conference for Gangubai Kathiawadi, which is world premiering tonight after the award ceremony of the 72nd Ramadan. We'll start by introducing our guests, starting by your left. Her list of achievement is too long for this brief introduction. We loved her, among other films, in Highway, that premiered in Panorama in 2014, and Gully Boy, that rocked the Berlinale in 2019. She's Gangubai herself, the vibrant Alia Bhatt. This inspiring body of work, spanning over three decades, has earned him critical and popular success. He won 5 times the International Film Awards, and also a BAFTA nomination in 2002 for Devdas, which also was listed in Times Magazine's top 10 greatest movies of the millennium. He is the director, screenwriter, editor, composer, and producer of Gangubai Kathiawadi, Sanjay Leela Bhansali. Welcome to you. We are very happy to have your film. And I will just start, if you allow me, by a first question to Sanjay. Could you tell us how you got to this project, and maybe tell us a bit about the book that inspired the film?
Yeah, it's a book that I read in 2009. And it stayed with me for a long time. It is a story of a woman who was trapped into being a sex worker, and then how she fought. How she fought for dignity for the women, for the girls in the brothels, how she fought for them to be accepted in the mainstream society. She asked for legalization of their profession. And all this happened at a time when feminism was not yet coined, women empowerment, these words were not yet coined. But I think she was way ahead of her time. She got up and fought. What I liked about her character was that she was a very bruised, scarred, woman wronged by society, by people she trusted, but she was a warrior. So she got up and fought for everything that she believed that they rightly deserved, in spite of being the profession. Like, you are a journalist, a teacher, she said, I'm a sex worker, and you need to respect me. And you cannot take me for granted for what I'm doing. So I thought that courage with which she fought, a ferocious warrior that she was, that's what inspired me to be the film.
Thank you. I'd love to hear Alia on this. How did you enter your character? Were any people you meet or things you read inspired you and brought up to the making of the film?
My biggest inspiration before I began the film and through my film was my director sitting right here. I wanted to be directed by him ever since I was 9 years old. That's when I first walked into his office. Actually, into his house to audition for another film that he was making at that time, Black. I did a terrible audition, so I did not get the part. But he looked at me, and he narrates that story even now, that he looked in at my eyes, and he said to me, this girl, not to me, but he said to himself, that she's going to be a heroine. That means she's going to be a big actor someday. So he saw that fire in my eyes when I was 9 years old, and I think I remember very clearly from that time onwards, my one point focus became, one day I have to be directed by him. So when I heard the narration of Gangubai, I'll be very honest, I was very shocked, because I was not expecting this part, not expecting this level of performance. And the fact that Sir believed that I would be able to pull it off before I believed that I would be able to pull it off, was surreal for me. And I think everything happens for a reason, and we were meant to do another film before that, which didn't happen. And sometimes I think if that had happened, would have this happened? Because the experience I got whilst being directed by him in and as Gangubai Kathiawadi was an experience I think I will cherish for all my lifetimes put together. So when you talk about inspiration through the film, the conversation that we had before every scene, the perspective that Sir gave me, the adjectives, the words, I remember every single beat, and it's through the conversation that I created this world in my head, and the character just formed itself all through conversation and all through connection. And I said this to Sir as well, that I genuinely believe that something just fit while we were making this film. And after a point, I would look at him across the room and he would say something to me with his eyes and I would just get it. So that was my inspiration through the film.
Well, let me put one thing on the street. The first time she heard the narration, she has taken a bag and run out of office, literally. And she was wondering what I was what kind of role I got off for her. She's run away. And then I told my CEO, Prerna, I said, I think we'll look out for another actor because this is the role I want her to play. Then she called me in the morning the next day. She said, can I come in with you? I said, but you don't have to come in with the person to say a note to you. But she came and then she looked at me for 5 minutes, sipping at a coffee. She keeps shaking her leg, she had a habit of holding one leg. And she said, well, I think I'll just do what you tell me to do. And so I said, yeah, jump into the unknown. I don't know what I want to do. So just jump into something that we're not comfortable doing on our lives. So let's find something new. And then from then on, she just took off. I realized that from the time I started shooting, I never really gave her instructions. I never really told her how to do it, what to do. It just came naturally to her. I let her breathe. I gave her all the freedom to think herself. So it was a great working relationship. We were not down each other's throat and given specific instructions. She was let on her own free and the real direction. And she did really beautiful in that interview. So God bless.
Sorry, the transition that you talked about, moving her leg. Can we talk about dancing and music, especially since you composed the music? It's not an upright musical, but there's some magnificent musical dancing scenes. How did you define the right moment for these things to happen in the narrative? And what purpose did they serve beyond being beautiful and spectacular?
I cannot think of making a film without music. I cannot think of my day passing without listening to music. So I think music first. So when I read the script, the first sounds that come to me are, what is the song? What is the tune that is coming to my mind? And I would jot it down or copy it or dictaphone or record it. And from there, the music I thought came very nicely in this film. It was not that she had to lip sync it, but it just expressed some emotions which otherwise in dialogue would have gotten a little contrived, would have gone a little mushy. So when the song came about, I was doing songs at very unusual places and they had to perform it like a scene, but on a beat. And that is where she handled it so beautifully that she would catch the beat. She would not show it. And when I put it together with the song, it feels like it is choreographed and she's moving as a dancer, like a dancer through. So, and yes, there were two dancers in which she danced. I didn't know if either was such a good dancer, but when she danced in Korea, there's a song in the big book, I could have seen the film in the white dress. I thought here was an actor who finally transcended. And it's a very most fresh moment for me to even talk about it and think about it. That you transcend where you are, you forget all space, you forget who's in front of you, cameras, what you look like, what you feel. She just became one with that character on you and expressed all her angst, all the anguish and all that she'd gone through in that one song, and it's a shot that I will take to my grave. I think if there's any shot that I want to play when I do my last, it will be Alia doing that shot, because it is completely the best thing that I've seen an actor do in a very, very long time. God bless you.
I fully agree. Alia, we want to hear you on those scenes.
Well, speaking about Sir's music and his songs, and as he said rightfully, it's a break in the narrative of the film, but even in the song, the narrative is going forward. So this song that he just mentioned, Dorida, it's a point in the film where Gangubai, to not give too much away, but she has something on her mind. She has struggled through and through, but she's got that angst sort of here. You just have to push her and it will come out. She is celebrating Navratri, Garba, a dance form and a festival which is very close to her home, where she came from, where she was taken away from, where she can't go back to. So there's a lot of pent-up anger, angst, nostalgia. And he had one clear feeling, which Sir is very spontaneous. He comes to set and he arrives at direction and choreography and moments and everything over there. It just comes to him. That's some, and he likes breathing it in the moment. He doesn't like it too structured. He doesn't like rules. But he just had a feeling, and he said, I want you to go into a trance. I should not see you in your eyes. You should go into a trance at the end of the song. And there is this one shot, which is a 50-second shot, continuous steady cam shot, where she kind of breaks into a dance, and she spins. And so Sir's brief was, the way the shot will be remembered and will reach that point is if we don't cut it. So the whole night, we were trying to achieve that one shot. I believe there were 3 takes, and we went with the 3rd take. Because maybe a couple of takes I could not finish because there were so many circles and so many chakkars, which you say, I have to take in Hindi. If I say chakkar, I had to go on taking those chakkars. Oh my God, I had goosebumps before doing it, while doing it. But there was this one take that when we went and got it, I swear to everything, I don't remember a point in the middle of the take, what happened. I don't remember what happened. All I remember was when it got cut, and I remember looking at everybody's faces. And that was the shot that's in the film. And I remember going to the monitor, and Sir looked at me and said, who pushed you? Because he looked up and said, somebody's pushed you. Who pushed you? This is some angelic hand that's on your head, and that is my shot. And I remember, aapne Hindi mein kaha tha, sir, mere sare gaane ek taraf ko liye shot ek taraf. Means all my songs on one side and this shot on one side. He was so happy, and I think that was one of the days I realized that when you talk about going beyond your limit and your capability, because I don't consider myself a good dancer at all, I think I'm absolutely average. This song was not about the dance, and that's what Sir was looking for. He wanted me to really reach an emotional sort of transcendence and a space where I've never tapped into before, and that's exactly what happened. And it's for the moments like this that I believe in the magic of movies and cinema.
Thank you.
Do you have a question?
My name is Mahar Sidney. I'm from Kentucky, Illinois. This film, I saw it yesterday, and then this morning I had time, and I wanted to see the first part before starting the work. I have a question about the location. And then about the camera work, because this is grandiose, really. And the period, because when she steps out from the car, the man greets her and says, Salam Alaikum, this is not Hindu. So I was thinking, what is the site where a lot of Pakistani used to live? But then, thank you, because this, everybody asked me, is this Bollywood? I said, no, this is English film. Because I started with, big film, Mother of India. I was a kid. I was 9 years old in Africa. And then Shami Kapoor, Shafiq Rahman. But this film has something that cut the Bollywood out. And congratulations.
You know, I love you for the fact that you call a Hindi film or a Malayalam film or a Telugu film an Indian film, because Bollywood is a very quaint term. It's the Indian cinema that we come here and stand here and represent the world. And Indian cinema has got so many languages, it's the world of its, it's on its own. So, yes, to just call it Bollywood would be wrong, and I appreciate the fact that you have recognized the fact that it's more Indian cinema than we talk about.
There was a question that one of the points raised was the location, and you can talk about the area of Mumbai that is represented.
Yeah, this was placed in a place called Mumbai. It's a slum called Kamatipur, where there are lots of brothels, and that's where the sex workers had their base and they work from there. And Hindus and Muslims and Christians and everybody stays together in our country, for it's a place where people love and each other and live together. So we'll have all these characters sprinkled around of different kinds, which you all mentioned in the book. The biggest character that came into Gangubai's life was Karimla, which we've now called Rahimla. He's the man who gave her the place of finding the courage to speak. He was the man behind the voice that got up and said, go and fight for your rights, you cannot sit here. And he was a Muslim man. And so it was a place where everybody lived together. And what was the third point you wanted?
There was a camera.
The camera was,
What do I say with the camera?
Because when you start the film, you show us these big buildings, and then you show the people, but you show them not so with a white camera, but like a crowd of people, and this black car or green car coming in. So how did you manage to do this? Because
yeah, it was all made on a set. We created it. We have three line directors who created it to have a shorted through two pandemics, and we had, because there were monsoon rains coming in constantly over the years, so we had to make a whole big shed on the set that we were making. It was a spectacular set that we made in Film City. And then all these things that I saw on this, that we created on the set, was things that I saw because I lived two lanes away, one lane away from Karnataka. So what I had seen, the textures, the colors, the clothes hanging, the gaudily painted faces who are trying to cover their pain and angst behind all the makeup they would do, they were all a part of art direction, of production design. So I thought that all that I had lived through for 30 years in those places, this film and this art direction is a tribute to those 30 years that I saw and learned a lot about what colors do, what it means to be colorless. I lived in a house which had no color. It was always white, and that white also would disappear because I lived in those chores over there. And I would always want color in my life, and I would always fight for it. And you see reflecting all over the years in these images of things that I've created, that there is the play of color is very important. Because I lived in a house as a child with my homework against colorless walls. And so all these things that we created on the set are all a tribute to many, many things that I cannot elaborate right now on. It's a special conversation we'll have together. But very, very nostalgic and very fulfilling for me.
Thank you. There's a question here. Thank you. Thank
you very much for your film. It was in India, 4 years ago. And I come from Mexico, and I was very, very surprised about the similarities between our worlds, and because the whole colors, the joy by dancing, and I saw so many similarities in our two worlds. There is a big contrast because, okay, Latin America, India, but I was very touched seeing these similarities, and I was very touched to see that I'm a Mexican, but my name is Alia too.
Oh!
Maybe she was my daughter in some other life. And I was very happy to see, oh, there is a very famous Alia in India. And my question is, how long it took you to make this film? How many weeks, how many years? And where can I read a little bit more about that inspiration figure? Because I would like to learn a little bit more and to report to my newspaper. We are the most read newspaper in Latin America. La Jornada is our name.
Okay.
And I'm corresponding here in Germany. So how long it took you to make the film?
See, like I said before, I read it in 2008-09. And I wanted to make the film in 2011, then 2014, then 2015. It just went on. But yeah, it took us 3 years to, almost 2.5 to 3 years to produce the film from the time we, from the time Madam came on board and decided to do the film with me. It took us 2.5 to 3 years. And it was a pandemic in the way, and as I said, lockdowns and three waves we've survived. Some of these people who worked with me on the film are sitting there. I love them. I really think the kind of commitment and resilience that you all had and patience to complete the film against all odds. So fabulous right up there. And what is the second part of the question? Where can you read Gangubai? Gangubai is a novel. If you can get that novel called Mafia Queens of Mumbai. It's written by S. Hussain Zaidi, and he's a wonderful director. And he had done a lot of research, and then he created this book. It's a story of 30 to 40 pages in the book, and out of which we then created a screenplay and added all that I had seen and experienced and other people's experience, and some scenes we added to create a certain dramatic effect. So all that is there, but if you want to research, Gangubai is there in the novel. I don't know if there are excerpts of her Azad Maidan speech, the speech which she made in the end on the grounds in Mumbai, where she finally spoke about legalizing prostitution. It was a very famous speech. And a lot is written about it also. So, yes, and yes, I agree that here was a lady, Gangubai, who was so fabulous. In spite of being completely trampled by life, she was always joyous. And that's the book, that's what the book wrote, always feisty, spirited, would go and get what she wanted. She would laugh, and she would play cards, and she liked her own alcohol, which she enjoyed immensely. So she was a great character to make a film on. And I think Alia for a long time is going to live in being Gangubai because she has played it to the hilt. I mean, she has, I think, become more Gangubai than Alia in real life. Her boyfriend complains about her speaking like Gangubai at home, and it's just completely becoming one with the character. Now, it's just a director's delight to see that the girl who comes out of the car here at the studio is not Alia, it's Gangubai. And she would walk like Gangu to the set, she would go home walk like Gangu. So, yeah, also, done. You can read the book. I'm speaking a little more than you asked for. But because I like you, and because you said India and Mexico is all right, so I love you.
I love those
problems.
So, Gangubai is a queen, she died, or is she still alive?
No, she passed away.
This was in the 40s, 50s, and she passed on in the mid-70s.
And one more thing common between Mexico and the food that we eat. You guys eat beans and rice, and we have beans and rice as well. Rajma chawal, we also have beans and rice. So we can also have beans.
And yes, something extraordinary about this part is that you're often surrounded by hundreds of women. I wonder if it made you feel really that you were carrying their rights, that you were carrying a struggle that would have a broad impact.
No, absolutely. And you know, Sir just mentioned the speech that Gangubai gave in Azad Maidan, which she was famously known for. It was written about, talked about. It was post that. That she actually went and met the Prime Minister of India at that time, Jawaharlal Nehru. What she said in that speech requires a lot of perspective from where they're coming from, and to understand that world and to actually sit there and speak from the heart to the audience sitting in that scene, and then henceforth the audience sitting in the theatre. I had to know and feel every inch of what she was saying. So at the time that we had shot this, it was, I think, a year or two, a year and a half into making the film. So I was already deep into Gangu's soul and her life. But I remember very clearly whilst even narrating and speaking those lines, and there was a moment where after one particular shot, I was shaking my hands. My hands were shaking, my face was shaking, because I spoke from a very honest place, and that perspective, like I mentioned earlier, came from a lot of conversations that I had with Sir. The way he feels for this character, the way he feels about her rights and what she wants, and the basic perspective that this is your profession, but this is my profession, and why the discrimination? It's discrimination all the way for these women. So I had to really, really get behind that soul and that heart. So absolutely, by the end of it, all the women of Kamathipura, the 4,000 women that we speak of through the film, were very, very, sort of embedded in my soul and the back of my head, and that responsibility is there through the film.
Were there, yeah?
Hi, I'm Pragya Mishra. I write for Indian newspaper, and first of all, congratulations for a fantastic film. And my question goes to Mr. Bhansali. Because the way India is and the how situations are in there, did you find any restrictions, obstructions to get the permission to make this film, or was there any hindrances? Thank you.
No, not at all. I think we're in a country in India where freedom of expression is given its full liberty, its full power. It's there. We are never restricted. We are never stopped from saying anything we want to. We are never told what to say and what not to say. It's completely up to us. So that kind of creative freedom that a filmmaker or an actor or a producer enjoys in our country is tremendous, and I think it's very commendable that till now we've not been restricted to put into corners and seeing conflicts. So that's a great one. But no, we didn't have to get permissions or anything. It was a film that it was written into a book 10 years ago, turned into a film today. And I feel that this film should inspire people, inspire women to get up and fight. I think in generations to come that will happen, because every era had women standing up and fighting for those causes. And those questions should be heard. Nobody should tell you, you can't ask us this question. No authority can tell you, you cannot ask for what is your basic right. So in our country, there is no such thing at all. And I could express Gangubai's anguish, angst, her fight, everything that she stood for in complete freedom. Yes.
I was going to ask, I hope the film will be received in India, where it's released in just a few days, but I think you've just answered. We wish the best to you upon the release, and I really enjoyed hearing you, and I think the sentiment is probably shared not only by the people in the room, but everybody who was following us online today, and I wish you a wonderful welcome here tonight at Berlinale. Thank you to all.